Last year, because of you, Preborn's network of clinics saw over 58,000 babies saved. Thank you to all who made this possible. Let's celebrate these precious babies. Dominique really struggled with her faith when she found out she was pregnant. She didn't know how she could carry her baby to term, but she called on God for help and asked for a sign. That's when she ran into who she calls her guardian angel on the steps of an abortion clinic. This man told her there's a better way, and he walked her across the street to a Preborn Network clinic. When she saw her beautiful baby on ultrasound and realized that he was an actual person living inside of her, the answer came loud and clear. She chose life for her precious son, Javin.
The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Have you ever heard it's not bad to be ignorant, but it's bad to stay that way? Well, Paul must have had that in mind when he wrote these words, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren." And we're going to talk about that today. Now, I know he said he didn't want them to be ignorant about spiritual gifts, but here it's about the return of the Lord, and especially those who have believed the Lord and are in the grave. What about them? So we're going to discuss this today. This is Bert Harper along with Alex McFarland, and it's a joy to have you to listen today. And we hope that you will join in and pray for us, pray with us when we have prayer requests. And later on, we'll take phone calls, but we're going to have a time of studying the Word of the Lord where we worship Him. Alex, it's great that we can worship the Lord even while we're doing a radio program, brother.
Well, amen. Yes, and we're going to be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And just as Paul said, I do not want you to be uninformed or ignorant. We have God's truth. We have God's Word about the future. And I didn't ask you this before the show, but can I share about a letter that I got over the weekend from a listener?
Oh, of course. We love to hear from them on the phone, email, so I think letters are appropriate as well. Go ahead.
Well, you know, and this is a person that we really need to pray for. Now, I'm going to hold up for those watching on video. This is a somewhat disturbing postcard that I got back about probably mid-November from a person who listens to Exploring the Word who claims to be a Satanist. And this person doesn't give their name or return address, but it basically says, give it up. Darkness will overtake America. You know, the kids will be ours, and the kingdom of darkness rises. And it is signed, I'm not making this up, this is absolutely for real, from hell, Satan 666. Now, I mentioned it on the radio, and I would love to write this person back. And let me say, Mr. Satanist, whoever you are, please give me your contact info. I promise you, in very kind and respectful tones, I'd love to talk with you. Now, I got this letter, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but there's a lot of biblical imagery and biblical language. And Bert, this person says says, dear Alex, there's a place for you in the eternal fire among liars, hypocrites, deceivers. You are all of these and worse. By the way, this doesn't bother me. I'm reading what he wrote. But here's the thing, Mr. Satanist, if you're listening, the language about hell and legion and eternal darkness tells me that you've been in church probably at some point, because there's a lot of Bible language that you probably wouldn't have known if you hadn't been in church. And I don't know why you felt led to become a Satanist and write these letters about 666 and that Bert and I are, you know, off the rails. But here's the thing. Please, wherever you are in America, I will fly and take you to lunch, and we will have the best conversation. And listen, no strings attached. I care about you. And Bert, let me just say, first of all, I thank you for listening to the program. And I thank you that you would feel led to write. I wish you would share your contact info. because I know that Bert cares about you and I care about you. And with all due respect, it's not us that's deceived. Jesus Christ is the light. He is the Savior. He conquered death. In the book of Revelation, it says Satan is bound for the lake of fire eternally. So please be set free from the falsehood. Satan has misled you, but Jesus is the truth. And Bert, the reason I wanted to share a little bit of that letter, because one of the things about the end times is evil and iniquity will increase. And Satan is a deceiver. I think as we get into 1 Thessalonians 4:13, the fact that we would get correspondence like this from professed Satanists that are trying to pronounce an anathema over us, Bert, that tells me we are in some uncharted territory. And I really think Satan is frantically working overtime because his time is short.
You know, when you were saying that, it could not help for me to go back to a Bible event that took place. It was real and true. And it is when the children of Israel were in the wilderness. And they were wandering around. And yes, they were doing that. And they sent two spies into the land after they had, you know, wandered for that many years. And it says, and they had heard of them. We've been waiting. And I want to tell you, it may look dark. And what was waiting them on that side? There were seven different tribal nations that ruled the area at that time, the promised land at that time, the Canaanites, the Jebusites, the Girgashites, the Hittites, all those, they were at different places. And God says, go into the land and occupy the land. And they did. I just want to tell you, it may be dark, but when Jesus Christ comes back, and that's what we're talking about today, listen, you're going to see that God is real. And with all of our heart, with every fiber of our being, we want people to know the Bible is true. Jesus Christ was a real person. He's not a figment. He's not a myth. He is real. And one day, will you trust him now and not wait too late? The Bible says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. That's in Philippians. But Alex, the issue is, when will you do it? You need to do it now. Trust the Lord. Ask him to help you and to guide you. He will, won't he, Alex?
Amen. Amen. And yeah, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess to the glory of God the Father. But here's the thing, folks, and this is the most vital decision you'll ever make. Some will bow their knee in salvation, some will bow their knee in condemnation. And maybe your parents and your family has been a very godly church-going family, but what about you? Because Jesus said this to the disciples, who do you say that I am? Because everybody must make that personal decision for themselves. You can't go to heaven on anybody's coattail. And maybe your mom is the most godly Christian woman ever. That's wonderful. But you have to make your decision and turn to Christ. And you can only do that in this life. There is no second chance after death, is there?
There is none. And if you need help right now, there's a partners that we give their number quite often. It is 888-NEED-HIM, 888-NEED-HIM, and there'll be someone that will talk with you, pray with you, and be concerned about you to know you're right with God. Well, Alex, what was happening here, the Christians in Thessalonica, those that were remaining and living, they had hope that Christ was coming back. But they were concerned about those that were believers that had died. What about them when Christ comes back? Or are they just annihilated? Will they stay in the grave? What will take place in their lives? So Paul begins to answer that question. So let me read verse 13, and it set it up. It says, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. That means they have died. It's not soul sleep. It is their bodies is sleeping, but their souls are present with the Lord, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, Even so, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. You're either going to be with Jesus or waiting for Jesus if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. That's the two camps right here. But Alex, let me say a word and then I'll throw it back to you. Notice it says, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. I love that. We have hope. You know, when Paul wrote the church at Corinth, he said, faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. But notice where hope is. It's right in the middle of faith and love. You know, when we get to heaven, you know what's going to happen? Our faith will be made whole. Love will continue, and hope will be realized. There is hope in Christ Jesus, isn't there?
Well, there really is. And, you know, as we get into this, a very famous passage, and let me read these verses and we'll comment on these. And this is 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. And folks, I would really urge you to mark this and read and reread, because this is, Bert, regarding the future, the end times, and the resurrection of the believers. I really think this is one of the most crucial, most important passages in the New Testament. Paul says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, in other words, those that have died, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and we do, we believe that, we know it, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Okay, so those that have died as believers, they are with Christ, and when Christ returns, they'll be with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. In other words, Paul says, this is nobody's opinion, this is the word of God, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede those who have died or are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then, and Bert, I think between verse 16 and 17, there's just a fraction of a second, you know?
Right.
The dead in Christ shall first get their glorified body. Verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, Bert, let me say something that I want to throw it to you. All ancient cultures have a creation narrative and really an end times narrative. Now, the book of Genesis speaks of how God created the heavens and the earth, but it's interesting. The Egyptians, Sumerians, the ancient cultures had their, very often it was pagan speculation. How did the world get here? Was it, you know, balanced on the back of a turtle standing in a river? You know, some of these origin stories are pretty foolish and mythical. And then most all ancient cultures have an eschatology narrative. Well, what's going to happen to the world? Will it eventually, you know, implode? Or a lot of, it's interesting, cultures had this idea that the gods would judge the human race based on how they lived. Now, we know there is one God, and yes, we all will give an account of ourselves. But Bert, when Paul says, I do not want you to be ignorant or uninformed, I think in a way that's a reference to the fact that there's 50 dozen opinions, but there's the Word of God. And praise the Lord, we're not trusting our eternity to man's guesses, but we have the revelation of the true and living God.
Amen. That's exactly right. We're talking about the revelation that was given to Paul that he shared with those in Thessalonica. And matter of fact, even in the Old Testament, you have those glimpses of the resurrection that is real for those who follow Christ. We'll be back with more here on Exploring the Word right after the break.
We want to welcome a new sponsor to American Family Radio, and I hope you give them your full support. That's Christian Healthcare Ministries, chministries.org. If you're like most of us, you're feeling the strain of rising healthcare costs. Well, good news. Christian Healthcare Ministries may be the answer you're looking for. CHM is an affordable, faith-based option to traditional healthcare that provides members the freedom to choose doctors without worrying about networks or waiting periods since they're not insurance. Can you say freedom? CHM is the longest-serving health cost-sharing ministry and has been around for over 40 years, helping Christians pay for and pray for one another's medical bills. They're tried and true and have members in all 50 states and around the world and have covered billions in medical bills. Members not only get advantages from the affordability, flexibility, and reliability of CHM, but they also receive access to 24/7 telehealth services at no additional cost. It's no surprise that doctors across the country appreciate working with CHM, and so will you. Make the switch today by visiting chministries.org/AFR. That's chministries.org/AFR.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. You know, in a few minutes, we'll take calls. I'm going to give the number. Maybe jot this number down on a piece of paper, but it's 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840 when we get to questions in a moment. Bert, early in my Christian life, I fell in love with these great gospel songs like I'll Fly Away and What a Meeting in the Air, and I used to listen to the Happy Goodman sing What a Beautiful Day for the Lord to Come Again. All of that type of lyric about we will rise up to meet him in the clouds, well, that comes out of 1 Thessalonians 4, among other verses, doesn't it?
It really does, and this is a strong, as Alex said in the introduction, this is such a great vital part of the doctrine of Christ and his return. He had already told them, and Jesus told them, that he would return. And they said, "Why?" And the angel said, "Why are you standing gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus that has left you will come in like manner." Now, he left physically. He's going to come back physically. It's not just a spiritual second coming. No, it is a physical coming, and we'll meet him in the air. And this is exactly what he says. Now, I want to start with verse 14. We've already covered 13, and we've read most of it. But I really, there's some key words that, Alex, I think are so important that we make sure people understand. It says in verse 14, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus." The word believe. Now, if we're not careful in our English language, it'll be just say, "Well, I believe that." In other words, knowledge. It's more than knowledge. This believe has the idea of faith, whereas you respond to your knowledge. You respond to the knowledge that Jesus died on the cross and he rose again, and you respond to that in faith, asking him to forgive you and be Lord of your life. So if we believe that Jesus did die and rose again, and we are the beneficiaries of that through faith, God will bring him those who sleep in Jesus. The question they were asking was, what about those who have gone on? So today in 2024, we can ask about, what about those who have died trusting Jesus Christ? Their bodies are in the grave, but where is their soul, their spirit? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Notice what he says. He will bring with him. We've been asked the question, where do we go when we die? Well, I do believe we go to heaven, but let me just tell you, we go to be with Jesus. That's the important part. That is the most important part. John 14, Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will receive you unto myself." Listen, Alex, the most important part of heaven Yes, they have streets of gold. I believe that. Gates of pearl. I believe that with all my heart. But the most important part is Jesus is there, and we're with him. Mm-hmm. Now, that just registers with me, and I hope it registers with those who are listening today, that you can have eternity with Jesus Christ. And that's what he says. He will bring those who have died and their soul is with him. He's going to bring them with him. Alex, that'd be a glorious day, wouldn't it?
Well, amen. It will be a glorious day. And dear believer, you've put your trust in Christ. You're a Christian. You'll be there, and you'll get that glorified body. Let me refer back, if I could, momentarily to 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 53. Now, just like, you know, we know 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter. Well, 1 Corinthians 15 is predominantly about the resurrection. And the beautiful thing about it, you know, Jesus conquered death, and you as a believer, you will too. John 6, 40, Jesus says, believe in me, I will raise you up at the last day. But Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians 15, behold, I show you a mystery. In other words, a hidden truth. That's what it means. And if you're a Christian, you'll understand this. Many don't understand it, but by God's word and God's Holy Spirit, you'll grasp this. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. See, not everybody's going to die, but every believer is going to be glorified, all right? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. We is every believer. For this incorruptible must put on incorruption. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Bert, I've used that scripture at different funerals. In fact, I did a week and a half ago at a funeral I had the honor of speaking at. The body we have is corruptible. We're aging, we're getting older, and physical death comes along. But the mortal body is going to be given an immortal body. And I believe, I know there's a lot of content that goes with this, but in 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17, it's talking about that the dead in Christ are raised. And let me just point out a couple of words here. A shout and the trumpet of God. Bert, everybody's probably been to, maybe you went to a concert and the musicians are kind of tuning up, and then suddenly it gets quiet and the lights go down, and there's kind of an awe because everybody knows the program is about to begin. Maybe you've been in a courtroom and the judge is going to come in, and suddenly the bailiff says, "All rise." Bert, the ultimate calling to order, like Bill Gaither said, the marketplace is empty, in the courtroom no debate, for the king is coming. One day there's going to be a shout, attention, and the world will grind to a halt because the king is coming in. It's going to happen. And Bert, yeah, I think about, you know, like whenever you're somewhere and you're in an auditorium and the program is about to begin, or you're in a classroom and the teacher says, okay, you know, all of those things point to the fact that we're heading, history is heading to the point where God, with a shout, with a voice of a trumpet, just like when the Queen of England would enter Parliament, they would play the trumpet voluntary. all of those point to the ultimate coming of the king, don't they?
They really do. And notice this. In verse 15, Paul writes these exact words, that we who are alive and remain. It's referring to what we call the imminent return of Jesus Christ. What Alex was talking about, that shout, the trumpet, the voice of the archangel occurring, having that attention, saying, this is it. Listen, Paul thought it could be, he could possibly be one of those that would remain. In other words, Paul didn't know when it would happen. They asked Jesus. He said, only my Father in heaven knows, but it will happen. We may not know when. They gave the illustration as a thief in the night. We don't know when it'll come, but we know he's coming. And so we are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep, because it will happen at that twinkling of an eye. Now, Alex, notice this in verse 16 also, the Lord himself. Now, I think that's a big, important thing. It's not the Holy Spirit coming. The Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. It was the falling of the Holy Spirit, and he's empowered believers, and he lives in us. But the Lord himself, the one that ascended, will come back. And so we need to be ready for him. And it says the Lord himself will descend. Why can he descend? Because he already ascended in his glorified body from heaven with a shout. Now, I think I may know what that shout will be, Alex. You can disagree here. You remember when something similar to this happened? There was a man named Lazarus, and he had died. And then when Jesus came, he said, Lazarus, come forth. Now, I agree with the preacher. I don't know who the first preacher was that said this, Alex. It's just in there in my brain. But it says he called Lazarus by name, because if he'd have said, come forth, every one of the bodies would have come forth. But in that day, the shout will come up, you know?
Yes.
Come on up. On the Price is Right, it's come on down. But here at the rapture, I believe it's going to come up hither, come up here. And so that's the shout and the trumpet. Now, if you want to study something, go back in the Old Testament and see how the Jewish culture, the Hebrews, used the trumpet. They used it in battle. They used it to call to order. They called it. It was a time of gathering. And so the voice of the archangel, we don't know exactly what that will be. I got a feeling on the first two, but I'm interested in what the archangel is going to be. I think I know that too. It says, we've been waiting. know, we've been waiting for this time. And so all the saints will have their glorified bodies, and those that have died and those of us that are here will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Alex, it is real. And regardless of anybody out there, they don't get, you can argue, when. Alex and I think we can tell you some of the things that the Bible says that we know, but there is going to be this return of Jesus Christ himself to claim his bride. So, Alex,
amen.
We can be ready, can't we?
We can. And folks, let me say, you will be there. Hebrews talks about the fact that Hebrews 9:27 says that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. Now, if you're a born-again Christian, you've put your faith in Jesus, you have nothing to fear, but this is a joyous expectation. Verse 18 says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. And in other words, encourage. We're going to see Jesus, the Lord himself. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. If you're a believer, you have no fear, no worries, only joyful expectation. Bert, I was sharing the gospel with somebody, and they were saying that they didn't want to face God, and were expressing that, you know, they had no interest in Jesus in this life and had no interest in facing God in the next. And I said, well, I understand. If you aren't right with God, I can understand why you don't want to meet God, but you will. Now, let me just give an illustration. This is not a great illustration, but some of you, just bear with me. There's a famous film technique that Steven Spielberg pioneered in Jaws. The camera zooms in, and there's this thing, and I know many of you will know the shot that I'm talking about, because they're on the beach and out in the water, they see this shark. And it's actually called the Zolly, Z-O-L-L-Y effect, or the vertigo shot. It's when everything in the background stands still, but it zooms in on the face of a person, and without warning, suddenly you're pushed in to this image. And it's a very famous, and others have tried to imitate it. I think about this once. I was swimming in the ocean, and I got caught in an undertow. And I didn't want to go out. I'm a pretty good swimmer, but when the undertow catches you, you can't fight it. That you're going to go where that undertow pushes you. And I want to say this, folks. You might not want to think about God, and you're trying to push it out of your mind, and you don't want to push God out of your mind until it's too late. And when God says with that shout of verse 16, come forth, you might not be ready, you might not want it, but just like something that is unavoidable, when God says, okay, appear before me, you'll be there. Yes. And we want you to be ready. There's plenty of appointments that you can postpone or procrastinate, but your appointment before Almighty God, you'll ready or not, you'll be there. Today, you can make ready by calling on Jesus.
Alex, well said. One more thing as we close out, and we'll close out in chapter 4 today, and tomorrow we'll state chapter 5 and continue talking about the description of that day when it will happen. But notice this, we need to really settle in. Verse 17, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up. Now, the word caught up, and Dr. Wiest in his word studies, a great, and so if anyone's listening, you can get the Wiest, W-E-S-T word studies. It's a great help in so many ways. The word that's used, caught up, in the Greek and in Hebrew has two or three possibilities of meanings, but it's always being taken away. One is taken away quickly, and it seems to be that's what happens. Another is taken away like grabbing and bringing you out of a place, and that is similar to what Lot with his family, especially his wife, having to drag them out of that Sodom area, Alex. So we want to be ready. We want to have the idea that not only, you know, our home is in heaven, we're looking for a better day. Have you noticed how many songs, the old gospel songs, they talked about heaven so much? It's because things were so difficult down here. They were longing for a better day. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason.
An unclouded day.
And that's the reason a lot of folks in Nigeria that is suffering so much, North Korea believers that are suffering so much, in Iran, so many believers suffering, they're looking for a better day. I want to tell you, that day is coming, and you want to be ready. And it's going to be a day when we're caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and we're going to be with those. Notice this real quickly before we go. He's going to bring those that have died with him, and those that remain will be caught up. And here's an important word, together. Hallelujah. Mm. Death separates, but when the return of Christ happens, it is a reunion that we can celebrate. Hey, Alex, that phone number is 888-589-8840. We want people to call us, don't we?
We do. Stay tuned, folks. We're back after this.
Each of these babies are truly miraculous, and every day Preborn celebrates 200 miracles. $28 a month can be the difference between the life and death of a child. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection that doubles a baby's chance at life. Let's join together and help mothers choose life. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
He makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can save. Let me tell you about my Jesus.
Amen. That's what we do on Exploring the Word. No matter what else we do, we make much of Jesus. When I first started preaching and I was just supplying, I'd go from one. I had one sermon, so I had it down. I just preached it in 12 or 20 different places in that first year. But anyway, they would say, they'd leave a note on the pulpit, make much of Jesus. And that's what we want to do. That number is 888-589-8840. We got lines open. But before we go to the first caller, Brent, it does such a good job with Facebook. He helps us with that. And I think we got a question. Brent, do we have a question from Facebook?
Yes, sir, we do. Rachel on Facebook ask, hello, Bert and Alex, would you please recommend a concordance?
Oh, wow. A concordance. Hey, Alex, let me give you, there's three that, now, I go way back here. You know, I was in school a long time ago. You had three. You had the Youngs, the Crudents, and the Strong. And my professor at Blue Mountain College, Dr. James Travis, that I've talked about several times, he said the Crudents is for the crude, the Young is for the young, and the Strong is those that want to be strong and carried around. But they're available, aren't they, concordances? That means they have the words in the Bible, and most of them are King James. That's what they were. But even you got some that use other translations, don't we?
They do. And maybe, folks, you've been thinking about a Bible verse, and you're racking your brain trying to remember a verse, and you remember one or two key words, right? Well, in a concordance, if you look up the word, it'll give you the places that that word appears, however many different verses. And I want to encourage everybody to own a concordance. And look, I realize we do so much on the computer these days, but please let me encourage you to build a library of some good Christian books. And two that I want to recommend, one is kind of compact and small, and the other is a little bit bigger. And I think Zondervan publishes them, and you can find them for about $9.95. They're not much, but Cruden's, and that's C-R-U-D-E-N-S, Cruden's Compact Concordance. It's just this nice little book. It's just not big. It's not bulky, and that's really good. But then, and I was given this from Angie's mom, Young's, Y-O-U-N-G-S, Young's Analytical Concordance. Now, don't let that intimidate you. What that is, and that's a pretty large book, you know, it's probably about 10 inches by 13 inches. And again, I would urge you to get one of these. All the words of the Old Testament, all the words of the New Testament, and in the back of Young's Concordance is a very extensive dictionary. And I will tell you, Bert, I just used to, for fun, I'd sit for an hour and read through these word definitions, and I begin to learn so much about the Bible. So let me strongly recommend those, because I do think they'll grow you deeply in your study of the Scripture.
I would, exactly. And I remember Dr. Adrian Rogers, I don't know if we've quoted him this year or not, we better start doing that and catch up if we haven't. But he said, I want to share with you, there's five books you should have in your library, and one of them was a concordance. And I agree with you fully. A Bible dictionary with Young's, you get a little of the dictionary, but that is great. Well, Alex, you ready to go to the phone lines?
Let's begin in Tennessee. We're going to talk to Greg in Tennessee. Welcome, and thanks for holding.
Hello, Greg. Alex.
Yes, you're on, Greg.
Okay. I just wanted to share some thoughts. My heart is broken for the world and how deceived and demented and disillusioned it is. And the Holy Spirit laid something on my heart the other day, and you got to understand, Satan is a creation. He knows he's a creation. And yet he stands in the face of the Creator and says, I will be you, I will overcome you, and I will take your place. And that's an impossibility, because the Creator is in charge. The Creator is the Alpha and the Omega. And the people out there are just as demented and delusion. And another thing that the Holy Spirit laid on my heart was this whole thing of diversity, equity, and inclusion. Mm. And the Creator is the author and finisher of diversity, equity, and inclusion. Because show me two people that are exactly alike. What a diverse Creator we have. And equity, show me another plan other than the coverage of the blood of Jesus Christ that makes us all equal. The only true equity is in the blood of Christ.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Amen, Greg.
Hey, well said, Greg. All this DEI, folks, you need to pray. And I'm going to be giving a lecture, by the way, on Tuesday night, February 6th, on critical race theory. And Bert, I didn't mean to give a commercial here, but if you go to my website, alexmcfarland.com, and look under events, February 6th, I'm going to be giving a lecture, and as far as I'm aware, it is some of the most up-to-date research on critical theory. And Bert, all of this enforced diversity, equity, inclusion. See, Christianity is truly inclusive in the sense that the arms of the Lord are open and Jesus says, whosoever will may come. But the inclusion of the world forces people to agree with that which the Word of God condemns. And so, Bert, we need to be able to proudly say Jesus is the only Savior, the Bible is God's written revelation, and God gets to say what is true and false, what's right and wrong, not man.
Well said. Let me just say one word. Satan is a stealer. He came to kill, steal, and destroy the enemy, and he steals good words. The inclusion is that everyone can come to the cross. I love that phrase. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. No matter who you are, where you are, you can come to Christ. That is inclusive, but it's exclusive how you respond to Christ, and that is he and he only. There's so many things. So, Greg, I think you did think that well through, and you shared it well. Thank you, brother. Where to next, Alex?
We're going to go to Nancy. Nancy, are you in Iowa? Do I have that right?
Yes, I am.
Welcome. Thanks for calling in.
I got to ask, is it snowing where you are, Nancy?
Well, my husband shoveled about 6 or 8 inches, and the grass cover is getting covered up again.
I heard about that. The caucus is, Iowa's getting more attention these days because people are wanting to know, are they going to go to the caucus sites? And the ones I've interviewed that are from Iowa, they say, do you know who you are? Do you know who we are? We go through snow all the time. So, Nancy, go ahead. I just had to throw that in. Go ahead, Nancy.
Well, that's okay. I was reading in 1 Samuel 18, and it's talking about when Saul became jealous of David. And verse 10 says, and it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul. The evil spirit from God. I don't understand that.
Okay. Let me make a statement, Alex, and we got callers, so we want to do this as quickly, and I'll let you do the main part. But listen, when we open up ourselves to false teaching, false anything, and we do that, we open ourselves up, and God draws back that fence of protection. And in a sense, is God purposely sending, or is his withdrawing from it permits that evil spirit to come? Alex, you go ahead and help Nancy.
Well, let me say what it is not saying. And by the way, if you want to understand 1 Samuel 18:10, I think you've also got to look at 1 Samuel 16:14. And in both cases, we know there is no evil in God. There is no sin in God. And certainly the Holy Spirit is not in any way evil or sinful. What happened was God allowed a demonic spirit that was champing at the bit to get at him all along. In fact, if you look at 1 Samuel 16:14, the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit, in the English it says, from the Lord troubled him. Really, what it means in the original Hebrew is, God agreed to allow an evil spirit to afflict Saul. So what might we conclude from this? Well, Satan and his minions are probably on a leash right now, and they would harm you and discourage you and tempt you, and God's Holy Spirit is restraining them.
Yes.
And that's why we don't want to resist God's Holy Spirit. The demons afflicted Saul by God's permission. And this was only after Saul was so stiff-necked and disobedient. But it wasn't that God is evil or in any way dark, but it was a demonic spirit that was permitted to get to Saul because of Saul's unbelief and disobedience. Let's go to Arkansas. Jim in Arkansas, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hey, I have to call at least once a month. I just get excited, but I'm excited all the time about Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you something. We got a praise report here. We had a young man that was in a car wreck, and they said his kidneys were gone, his this was gone, that was gone, and he's going to die. Well, 2 weeks ago, he got in a wheelchair and showed up at my church. And I'm going to tell you what. Prayer works.
Amen.
If you're out there on the radio land, don't believe it. Jesus Christ went out and he prayed. He had the day before he got all the disciples, he prayed. When he was out there getting ready to be crucified, he said, God, pass this from me. He prayed. If you pray, your prayers will be answered.
Amen,
now,
Jim.
Gonna come all of a sudden. May so, may not.
Amen.
I'm done.
That was good, Jim. Lord. Thank you, brother. I was talking to a lady. I was preaching over in Union County here in Mississippi at Fredonia Church, and a man and woman came up, and they were sharing with me. He said, you're looking at a miracle. Now, it was his wife, and he described where she was, what had happened, what they had described, said this is going to happen. But God raised her up. God does that. God answers. Sometimes he says, not now. I've got something better. Heaven's better. Because Paul's the one that said, it's better for me to stay with you. It's better for me to go on to heaven. So sometimes, let me just share with you, those of you that have illnesses and sickness, and listen, sometimes it's far better for you to go on to the Lord. Let the Lord decide. Doesn't mean you don't strive to stay alive and serve here. But Alex, I trust him, brother. I think we can all can't we?
We can all trust him, and he does. Yes, to the caller's point, he does answer prayer. Praise the Lord. Okay, Bob in Mississippi. Bob, you're on Exploring the Word.
Yeah, well, thank you for taking the call. I enjoy listening to you fellows. Don't always agree with everything you say, but you know, when people believe that the Bible is the Word of God and Jesus Christ the Son of God, you're on the right road, and if you stay on that road, you're probably going to come out all right. What I wanted to talk about was harmonizing the teaching in 1 Thessalonians 4 and the teachings in 1 Corinthians 15 about the resurrection and John 5:28-29. I think all of these scriptures about the resurrection have to harmonize, and I would like to hear your comment on that.
Thank you, Bob. Alex, did you get those verses or know them enough to
John 5:28-29, it says, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Yeah, there is the resurrection of the just and the unjust. Now, let me say the John 5:28-29 is not teaching works righteousness. If we are, quote, good in the sight of God or righteous, it's by the imputed righteousness of Christ, which we get by faith. Romans 4 teaches us that, and Habakkuk, and Romans 1:16. But how would I harmonize that with the 1 Thessalonians 4? Well, the 1 Thessalonians 4 is strictly talking about the resurrection of believers. Now, John 5:29 is a reminder that also there is a resurrection to damnation, or literally condemnation, of the unbelievers. So, Bert, I think they complement and expound on each other very well, don't you?
They really do. The first resurrection is those of believers, and that's going to happen at the coming of Christ. This one is going to happen at the end of the thousand-year reign, the resurrection of the unjust. And what is evil and what is good? Good is receiving Christ. Evil is saying no to Christ. So even in the terminology, it does not change. That it doesn't show they are in conflict. I think they do complement one another. Alex, do we have time for one more?
I think we do. Wes in Texas, if you would go quickly, please, and we'll do our best.
Okay, I was wondering about St. Peter's reference to God being righteous. When after reading about it, he seemed to be anything but righteous. He was always getting his uncle into trouble, having to rescue him, having to...
Forgive me for jumping in here. This is 2 Peter 2:8. Isn't that something, Bert? Lot was backslidden. Lot was a compromiser. But Sodom did vex his righteous soul, didn't it?
It did. This is the reason. Let me just share with you. If you saw David when he was Bathsheba, you say he couldn't know God. When you saw Samson doing what he did, you can't. Listen, we better be careful. We better be careful making judgments concerning others. Listen, ultimate judgment concerning a soul, righteous or unrighteous, Alex, I don't have what it takes to judge that, but God does, doesn't he?
He does. You know, Lot's soul was righteous, even though his behavior for the moment wasn't. We'll do more on Exploring the Word. Keep us in prayer and tell somebody about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
I want to thank our sponsors, Preborn and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Preborn Network clinics have rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day they save 200 babies' lives. But they can't do it without our help. Will you head over to preborn.com/AFR and sponsor an ultrasound? Christian Healthcare Ministries is the longest-serving healthcare cost-sharing ministry, helping Christians pay for and pray for one another's medical bills. Make the switch today and start saving. Visit chministries.org/AFR. That's chministries.org/AFR.